the great gift exchange. And so out of Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 4, we want to just read these verses. Verse 4 says, "But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Let's pray. Father, we do ask your great blessing. What a wonderful time of the year. Our hearts are moved towards giving and caring and being compassionate. It's something that we want to see ongoing on a daily basis. So whatever way that you capture our hearts this morning and through this season, we pray that it's just not a seasonal love for you, but it's a heartfelt passion of our life. Bless this Bible study, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When it snowed on Friday, my wife got a little package for me together because she knew the message was a great gift exchange, and I put it in our backyard and took a picture, and there it is, the great gift exchange. And when we're looking at this study and just seeing these four verses, in verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of the time had come," in Galatians 4:4. And the very first point is God is sinking. And so obviously that is a technological term, to sink or to be in sync. And what we see is in God's time and all of eternity, and God lives outside of time and eternity, but there was a specific appointed time where God says, "I'm coming to earth." So God is eternal. Jesus Christ is eternal. He's the eternal God. And so it's important to see when the fullness of time had come. God is in control of your life right now and my life. There's no situation outside of his control. His timing is absolutely perfect. We're living under his lordship and his timing. And might I ask, do you think his second coming is in perfect timing as well? Do you not think that there's going to be a fullness of time when Jesus Christ will return? I do. You know, there's some practical things if you study. The Roman Empire was in full bloom at this time before Christ came in the fullness of time. There was a road system that was put in place, thousands of miles of paved road. There was a language, the Greek language, also Latin, but Greek, dominating the culture. It was the perfect timing for the Savior to come to the world. And it's going to be a perfect time when he returns. We're looking forward to the return of Christ, aren't we, as believers, believing in that? But in the meantime, right now, to be able to live for Christ. So in the fullness of time, but it says God's sending. And again, if we look at the scriptures and to see, but in the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. That means if he sent forth his son is the eternal son of God, the living God. And Jesus Christ, therefore, humbled himself and came to earth. It's a great miracle. And we see that he was born of a woman. So not just that, but God sending his son. Why did God send his son? And we see God saving. Again, if we look in verse 4, we read, "God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law." Why? Verse 5, "to redeem those who were under the law." Jesus Christ came to redeem us. In the world at this time when Christ came, in this world, it is reported in the commentaries that I read that the slaves, the amount of slaves could have been 30, 40, 50 million slaves, more slaves than those that were free at this time. And so people would come and they would stand and they would bid for a particular person or for a particular slave and take them to be their servant, or sometimes they would buy them to set them free. Jesus Christ left heaven and came to earth for us in God's perfect timing. There's never a time that's not perfect for Jesus. I don't know what your situation is today, what's going on in your world, what's happening, but it's a perfect time to let Jesus inside of your heart, as believers, to let him inside of your situation right now. It's the perfect timing. When Jesus Christ came, he came to redeem us from sin. But Jesus Christ is here to help us in every situation. As we even were singing the worship songs, it's very clear we need the Lord. We need his help. We need his hand. God's saving to redeem those who were under the law. But let's look further here. It's God's Spirit. Notice as we look at verse 5, to redeem those who were under the law that we might receive the adoption as sons. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Many times for Christmas message, we stay right at the manger scene. It's not the case this morning. What I'm saying, and through the Word of God and through what's being communicated, is this. God so loved the world. And in his perfect timing, he says, it is time. It is time for the Savior to come, the eternal God, Jesus Christ, to come to earth. It is time. And the reason he came to earth is to set us free from our sin and from the law. And so as God looked at this world, whether you are under the Roman law as a slave, as people in this world under the law and under sin, we're all slave to sin. We're all the same. We're all slaves to sin. And Jesus says, I want to redeem the world. God says, it's time for redemption. So he sent Jesus Christ here. And he says, for us as believers, not only to take us off the slave market, to redeem us and to set us free. Not only that, he does that. Not only that, he doesn't stop there. He says, not only am I going to set you free, I'm going to dwell within you through my Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is inside every believer. The Holy Spirit of God. That's what makes a difference in our life. The Spirit of God lives within each of us. And because the Spirit of God lives within each of us, we're called sons. And sons and daughters of God. Sons of God. That's what we are. That's what God did by his Holy Spirit. But let's take it one step further and let's look at this area of God's Son. There's the gift. The gift is Jesus. We're seeing everything he gives to us. And in verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What does this mean? What does this mean for us today? What does it mean that Jesus Christ came to the earth? What does it mean? It means God is prophetically right on target. God, from the very beginning, in Genesis 3, when sin entered the world, in Genesis 3, he says, I'm making a provision for the human race. I'm going to provide a savior for the world. In Genesis 3, so history moves on, and at the right time, Jesus Christ and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, has come. And he's come to redeem us from our sins. But how would this take place? How would he redeem us? And we have a tree. Many times it's a symbol at Christmas and we decorate them. And there's different opinions regarding this tree. But let's look a little bit further. My question is, what's inside the unopened gift? What's inside of it? So I took a little creative talent here. Whether it's talent or not, you decide. But anyways, what's inside the gift? There it is. But I see the gift as Jesus Christ. The gift is him. The gift is his life. And if we look here, we see that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means if all have sinned, that means all can receive the gift. If all have sinned, then the gift is for all. So this present of Christ under the tree, this gift of God is for everybody because we all qualify. Amen? We've all sinned. And if you say you haven't sinned, then you just did sin, okay? Because it's a sin of lying. Okay, so we look next. The scripture says, who himself, speaking of Jesus, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That's what it says in 1 Peter 2:24. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This is about Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus. So let's look back at the gift. God demonstrated at this present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. But look a little bit further here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a what? Gift of God. That's right. So when we look here at the end and we're seeing these scriptures just four, and what Paul is saying is this. Paul says, listen, I grew up under a religious system. That's what Paul would communicate, and especially through Romans and especially in Galatians. Galatians is, in a sense, an epistle of liberty. And Paul said, I lived through all this religious world. I was the religious of the most religious people. And I felt through my zeal I was doing what was right, but he was not. And Paul realized that he was living his life under the law, trying to measure up to the law. And we live in a time right now where many times people think they need to earn their salvation or work for their relation with God. Paul says it's not going to happen. You can't do it. You cannot work for a relationship with God. You cannot earn your salvation. It's an absolute gift. And so the great gift exchange, do you ever play that? Do you ever have the gift exchange? Do you ever take someone's name and someone else has your name, so there's a bunch of names, and you take a name out, no one knows who it is, and you have a gift to bring, and you're going to bring it. Anybody ever do this before? Or just my world and no one else's? Just the games I play at home by myself. All right. You should see my tree. All the names are for me. Anyways, you pick a name, and you get a gift for that person, right? The gift exchange. Well, might I suggest this morning that God has your name, that God picked your name, that God picked your name. God has picked every one of us. He knows us by name. God knows us, and God has taken every one of us, all of us by name. He knows us. So God has your name. And the great gift exchange is God says, I want to give you the greatest gift. I want to give you a gift that nobody else can give to you. What do you give to somebody that doesn't have everything? Well, you give them what Jesus has. Jesus says, I have that gift for you. God wants to give us that gift for Christmas, the great gift exchange. He gave it for me. He's given himself for you, and he's given himself for the world. Now, the smallest gift in the world is someone that's all wrapped up in themselves. That's the smallest gift. But the great gift exchange, the question is, will you receive his gift or will you leave it under his tree? Think about this as an illustration. Think about somebody that you love so much. You just love them so much. You've been thinking about them. They're very dear to you. And you've been thinking about Christmas, and you realize that you want to give them something they could never give themselves. They just don't have the resources. It would be out of their league. You work extra hours. You work overtime. You started in January saving the funds that you would need. And it became quite a considerable amount of money, time, and sacrifice that you put in. But you knew what you wanted to get them, and zip, you never told them. You kept it in your heart and secret. You're so excited. And you bought this gift for them. And you took great care in wrapping the gift and just wanting to present the gift. And you put it underneath the tree where other presents were at. But you put it in the back. You wanted it to be the last gift they open. You wanted it to be the last one because it's the spotlight of all the gifts. And there it is under the tree. And all the gifts are being unwrapped and opened. And there's great pleasure. But this person that you love, this person you care for, the person that you have, you want them to receive this great gift. It's under the tree. And they won't open it. And he's saying, what? It almost becomes like old maid, you know, where you put the old maid card up in front like this. And so you come over here and you just push the gift out. Got one more gift. One more gift. Let's open it. And they refuse to open it. They don't want to open it. Would that not be heartbreaking to you? Just say, no, I'm not really. I just don't want to open it. I'm just not up for it right now. I just, too much pressure. I don't want to open it. So we just put it up in the attic, I guess, or down in the basement or in the garage or somewhere. And then you bring it out next year. And the same thing the next year. And it would break your heart. And I'm thinking about our Lord and his heart. Is his heart broken over giving his son as the greatest gift for the world and the rejection of not receiving that gift? I pray that's not going to happen here today. What we want you to know that as a ministry, the word of God is priority. We want and really believe that God's called us to be worshipers of him in spirit and in truth. And I thank you for being a part of this ministry. We're finishing Luke here, and in January, we're going to start John, the Gospel of John, going through our discipleship living and teaching on our Sunday messages. But not only that, a personal challenge for me and for you is to consider this. Actually, on a subsequent night, Wednesday nights, using Wednesday nights to go through the entire Bible in 2014. You can use your application, or there's other resources. You can listen to the Bible online, or you can read it as we move along through it. But every Wednesday night, we're going to take a book. So the first book on the first Wednesday, which is not the first Wednesday because it's New Year's Day, but the 8th, our first study, we're going to go through Genesis. So that night, 45 minutes on Genesis. Four people, four places. We'll have notes and everything on it. We want to be strong in God's word. We're going to go through his word. We want you to be a part of that. Not only that, but on Monday night, our school of discipleship, or our Bible Living School, Discipleship Living School, it's going to be different with just one class. And what I like to do is I like to see our fellowship move in a direction to really use the gifts that God has given to you. The first 4 weeks, first night is prayer, second worship, third helps, fourth missions. Let's just say that you have a real desire for prayer, and that's really on your heart. We should all be praying. But as a ministry, we want to pray all the more. So we're going to come together on that first week for prayer, but we're also going to see how God wants to move in our fellowship to really see prayer come alive even in a greater way. Maybe there's some prayer groups, ways that we can pray more effectively for our fellowship. Being available, have prayer teams afterwards, just prayer. Then you'll see in the next week on worship. And not that you'd go to each of these, but you'll see. The third week is helps. We have so many people here. Many of you have the gift of helps and service. So you would want to come out that Monday night and see how God might want to use you even in a greater, more fruitful way. By the way, this picture was yesterday morning. That was the snow in our parking lot here. And then to look at this as a pastor and our leaders, no one here at Calvary ever needs to be alone. And I know that maybe is easier said than done, but I want you to know we have women's Bible studies. We have men's fellowships. We have youth meetings. We have special events. We want to experience a sense of a family. If, in fact, Jesus came down to redeem us from our sins, and if, in fact, he not only redeemed us, but he adopted us, and not only adopted us, but he calls us his sons, and not only calls us his sons, but he has his Holy Spirit living within us, and not only his Holy Spirit living within us, he says, I've provided your inheritance, your future. It's all taken care of. Your future is absolutely taken care of. So would you consider being my servant here on earth? Would you consider just enjoying the richness of your salvation right now? Just a part of what is to come right now. And the way we do that is being a body that loves and serves each other. And of course, thank you, Adam, for introducing the app. So it gets down to the final question as the worship team comes up for our final worship song. But I'd like you to just consider this. Would you consider receiving his gift? When you receive his gift, then you can give your life away. When you receive the gift of eternal life, then you can give your life away. Amen? Let's stand and let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for all that this day is about. We thank you for the time that the Holy Spirit worked in the Apostle Paul's life and the significance that Jesus Christ became to him. A man that he once was opposed to and those that flocked around him, to all of a sudden a man he surrendered his life to because he realized he was a slave in a religious system and Jesus Christ set him free. Are you a slave to religion? Are you a slave to yourself? Are you a slave to sin? Christ came to forgive us. And we enter into this relationship with him by saying, "Dear Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I am the sinner and you are the Savior. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving this gift which cost your life. Forgive me of my sins and I receive the free gift, Jesus Christ as my Savior, an eternal gift I receive in faith. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen."